Welcome to Storytime by Chava. We are continuing Once Upon a Journey, Volume 2 by Rabbi Zalman Ritterman. We are up to Chapter 70. And once again, we owe a big thank you to the family of Chana, Shena, Menucha, Masya, and Bracha for sponsoring this volume. This chapter is called A Cheder in the Haunted House. Rabbi Baruch Batlin gathered the leaders of the Jewish community of Posen for an emergency meeting. He repeated the words of Rav Yael, the Baal Shem of Zamech, explaining the responsibility that the Jews of Posen had to help repair the neshamis of Avigdor the goldsmith and his wife Sarah. He then repeated Rav Yael's instructions. Since the situation with the haunted house had become so unbearable, and because Rav Baruch displayed such strong faith in the words of his Rebbe, the leaders of the Jewish community immediately agreed to do as Rav Yael had suggested. Rav Baruch then repeated the detailed instructions that he had received from his Rebbe. The first and immediate step was for the leaders of the community to track down Avigdor's relatives. Once they found them, they told the relatives all about the strange things that had happened at the house ever since Avigdor and Sarah had died. When they heard the story, Avigdor's relatives agreed to give up their right to inherit the house and instead donated the building to the Jewish community of Posen. They did this in order to get rid of the evil spirits that had invaded the building and also to provide a tikkun for the neshamis of their relatives, Avigdor and Sarah. The next step was for Abaruch to gather 9 of his friends who were all followers of Rav Yael Baal Shem. Together there were exactly 10 men, a minyan. Each of them took great care to fulfill the instructions of Rav Yael exactly so that together they would be able to drive away the sheidim. On the first day, the 10 men fasted all day. During the mincha davening of that day, they read the Torah portion of Vayachel, as we do on every fast day. The following night, Rav Baruch and his friends remained awake all night, learning Torah until the break of dawn. As the sky began to grow light, the 10 men hurried to the mikveh. Rav Baruch told them the specific kavanis that they should have in mind while they immersed themselves. These kavanis were based on Kabbalah and had been taught to Rav Baruch by Rav Yael for the sake of this important mission. As Rav Baruch and his friends made their way from the mikveh to the main shul in Posen, the members of the Jewish community were beginning to wake up and leave their homes. They were very interested in what Rav Baruch was doing. The news had already spread across the entire city of Posen that Rav Baruch held the solution as to how they could remove the spirits from the haunted building on Portugal Street. Everyone had heard that his Rebbe, a great mekubal, had given him specific instructions. Soon enough, a large crowd had gathered around Rav Baruch and his friends in order to discover what they were doing. The 10 men turned to the Aron Kodesh in Shul, and with great respect, they removed 3 of the Sifrei Torah and carried them out of the Shul. They began to walk through the streets of Posen with the 3 Sifrei Torah in their arms. As they walked, people in every house flung their windows open. Men, women, and children gazed out at the procession with wonder and interest. Many could not contain their curiosity and hurried to catch up with the group. The crowd following Rav Baruch grew larger by the minute. The non-Jewish residents of Posen were also aware of the strange happenings on Portugal Street, especially after the failed attempt of the bishop to drive away the spirits. They too joined the massive procession that walked straight toward the haunted house of the dead goldsmith. Everyone wanted to personally witness what would happen next. For the Jews, the reputation and reliability of Rav Baruch Batlin, and even more so of the Baal Shem of Zamech, was being put to the test. Would the instructions of the Baal Shem actually work? As far as the non-Jews were concerned, the question was even greater. Could the Jews succeed in driving away the spirits that their own bishop and his men, with all their prayers, had been unable to chase away? The procession, led by the men holding the Sifrei Torah, arrived at the entrance to Avigdor's home. The noises from inside the house grew louder now than ever before. The large crowd gathered outside the house held their ears with their hands, as blood-curdling screams, uncontrollable laughs, the sound of barking dogs and wild animals rang out from the house. The crowd stood frozen with terror. The only ones who were not at all shocked by the sounds were Rav Baruch and his 9 friends. they appeared calm and confident. They seemed to feel protected by the power of the Torah and the merit of their great Rebbe. Standing right at the very doorway of the house, the 10 men loudly recited the specific chapters of Tehillim that the Rebbe had instructed them to say. When they had completed reciting Tehillim with great concentration, the 10 men called out to the Shadim inside the house. They loudly commanded the Shadim to leave the house immediately. They repeated this instruction 3 times. Then, one of the men kicked the door open with his foot, and all of the 10 men entered Avigdor's home. At the exact same moment, every window in the house shattered into small pieces. A collection of strange and weird figures, extremely distorted and scary looking, all flew out of the windows, as if they were desperately trying to escape. For a few moments, the house was still filled with thick, stinking smoke that made it difficult to breathe. However, that quickly disappeared as well. The home became completely quiet and peaceful. Rav Baruch and his friends stood in the center of the home and davened shacharis, just as Rav Yael had instructed them. As the men davened inside the house, the news quickly spread throughout the city of Posen. The spirits had been driven out of the haunted house on Portugal Street. From all across the city, people came running to see for themselves. After Rav Baruch and his friends finished shacharis, they sat down to eat a meal in the house. According to Rav Yael, it was to be considered a sudas mitzvah, because during this meal, they would announce that the home was now to be transformed into a base medrash, a place in which to learn Torah. Rav Baruch repeated 3 further instructions that he received from his Rebbe. First of all, the people of Posen should daven there 3 times a day, shacharis, mincha, and ma'ariv. Secondly, Torah Shiurim should be held there every day. And thirdly, a cheder for young children should be established in the house. The success of Rav Baruch and his friends caused an incredible Kiddush Hashem. The non-Jewish residents of Posen discovered a new deep respect for the Torah. They realized that there was more truth to the Jewish religion than what they had been told by their priests. The Jewish residents of Posen also discovered a truth. They now realized the holy power of the Tzaddik, the Baal Shem of Zalmich. After all the fuss quieted down and the people of Posen stopped talking about the story of the Shadim, Rav Baruch and his friends were pained to discover that some people still refused to accept the facts. These men did not share the same feeling of great respect that most of the city now had towards the Riel of Zalmich. They remained strongly opposed to the ways of the Nistarim and the Mekubalim. The head of this group was a man named Rav Shlomo. He had lived right next door to the house of Avigdor. He should have been extremely thankful to Rav Yael and his messengers for removing the spirits, but he just could not bring himself to accept the truth. He simply had too much deep hatred for the Mekubalim. Instead, he began spreading his own version of the story around Posen. "There's a time for everything," Rav Shlomo explained. "Just as the spirits had appeared in the house on a certain day, and not a day earlier or later, so Hashem had already decided that they would disappear from the house at a certain time on a specific day. It just happened to be that Rav Baruch and his friends arrived at the house on the very day that the spirits left." "It is completely foolish," Rav Shlomo told everyone he met, "to believe that the spirits left the house because of the power of the Baal Shem. At most," he said, "the fact that the house was turned into a place of Torah learning helped the spirits to leave. But that had to do only with the power of the Torah, not the holiness of the Baal Shem of Zalmich." That is what Rav Shlomo tried his best to convince the people of Posen.